Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, friend, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the dirt sheet. The only place you need to be going, man, for your pro wrestling news. We scour the dirt sheets, look at everything, and we put it all here in our show here on youtube.com/Steven Larson, and also available wherever fine podcasts are.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I feel so bloated right now from lunch.
Yeah.
Like, this is not going to work for me.
I feel like it should be nap time. That's honestly how I feel. I was up late watching a bunch of wrestling.
Yeah.
I had a heavy lunch. I'm tired.
We're available right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Also available wherever fine podcasts are. And we're also on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you can financially support the show. And in return, we give you a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw.
And today, starting today at noon,
yeah.
I think that would be Central Time, noon Central Time.
I would imagine.
Go to prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. There is a 20% off
everything.
Everything. We've recently got the Mecha Santa Congress Under Mecha Santa shirt.
How many designs do we have now? I've lost count.
Eight.
A lot of designs. Eight
solid designs.
More
be
to
sure
come.
To check those out right now. It's a 24-hour sale. Starts noon today, ends noon tomorrow.
You know what? Maybe we shoot Dirt Sheet on Thursday. Maybe tonight I'll get a 9th design up.
Oh, man, we got to get those. I know. Maybe I'll do a 10th one. So we'll have 10 designs up by tomorrow. And even 10 by the time that sale happens. Maybe. Like, it takes them. Sometimes it's it. But, like, last time they had a sale and we tried to rush a design up. They got it up really quick.
Yes.
It was, like, within hours. So those guys over there at Pro Wrestling Tees, I think they're owned by, like, 1 Hour Tees.
Yes.
Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Yes.
Anyways, let's talk about some pro wrestling news. Kind of a thin news week, but there are some interesting tidbits out there.
Of course.
You know.
There always is.
So, number one, this is close to my heart. Aleister Black possibly going to have a short stint in NXT because the higher-ups are so high on Aleister Black.
Yeah, so today, Thursday, Cage Side Seats had a little blurb.
Part of their rumor roundup.
Yes. Reporting the latest rumor about Aleister Black is that the WWE, as you mentioned, is very high on him and that he might not be in NXT for very long, saying more or less he's going to the main roster. I think he's been wrestling...
He's been wrestling on Main Event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the Raw branded shows, I believe, during the European tour, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and had at least one match against Neville mm-hmm. and Austin Aries for the mm-hmm. Cruiserweight title.
Yeah.
And then on the 8th, earlier this week, both Triple H and William Regal were interviewed by ESPN about NXT and some of the newer talents. And Aleister Black's name got brought up, and this is what they had to say about him. Steve, will you please read these quotes in the respective person's voice, please?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So this is coming from William Regal. He says, "You see the ones with the real passion and desire, so I've just kept a tab on him for years. Then he started to really come into his own the last few years. His name was getting out there, and he was coming to America quite a bit and doing independent shows. We hooked up, and I just said, 'Whenever you're ready, give me a call,' that kind of thing. The next thing, he's given me a call. He was at a tryout. Triple H has seen him, and yeah, he's definitely got something that we're looking for." Then Triple H followed that up by saying, "Aleister Black is very talented. I think he's going to be a player." And then William Regal, which is... Regal continued, "We look for a lot of things, but the number one thing that we look for, and if I suggest anybody to Paul, he will always say it, do they actually look like they can beat somebody?"
No, do Regal impersonating Triple H.
This is Regal impersonating Triple H. "Do they actually look like they could beat somebody up?"
Pretty good.
Yeah, anyways, Regal just says some of that just comes with time. Over time, your face hardens up and you just look more like a fighter. Aleister just fits that bill because that's what he is. He's a kickboxer. He's been through the walls a bit. You can just see life in his face.
And that's very true.
Yeah, oh, totally, man. He's got the best facha. He's got the best face, man.
The overriding kind of theme of this ESPN article was talking about...
His Regal really loves him, and Triple H just says, "Yeah, he's good."
Well, I mean, they spend about half the article talking about talents
developed in-house, people that might have some sort of athletic background, would be amateur wrestling or
NFL
football.
Yeah.
And then talking about talents like Aleister Black, who'd been on the independent circuit for 10 years, yeah, dozen or more, years, something like that. Yeah. So it's interesting. It seems the way they've been packaging Aleister Black on NXT, you can tell they have they think very highly of him.
His
packaging instantly, right out of the gate, is of a main event guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His entrance, his theme, all that.
Yeah.
They're setting him up for huge success on the main roster, it seems. However, if they're looking to push him through NXT quickly just because they really like him, I think that's a mistake. I think he needs to be there for a while, build his brand a bit more, develop his character a bit more, because while we've seen his entrance, and it's great, and his packaging is great, and it infers a character, we don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know. He hasn't said a word, which so far has worked great for him.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't had to talk.
Yeah.
He's been kicking everybody's butt.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, we're going to need to learn more about his character. But I think more than that is just building the brand, getting the NXT title, having even just a short run with it, and then come up to Maine. Because by and large, the people that have come up to Maine without staying in NXT for a while, they really haven't found the success those who have had the NXT title have had, by and large.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
I agree with you on that point. And look, I'll put it this way. I agree with you in that it's better to be safe than sorry.
Yes.
And there's nothing is harmed by him staying in NXT for a little bit longer. I totally agree with you on that. Absolutely.
I mean,
and honestly, NXT is my favorite hour of wrestling on TV, so I would love to see him be the showcase, the centerpiece of that.
Yes.
Absolutely. That being said, so we haven't really seen any promos from Aleister Black.
Yes.
So we really don't know, in terms of verbally, who his character is.
Yes.
But I think much in the same way as Shinsuke Nakamura, you from his entrance and his matches,
well, as I said,
it's a unique situation with guys like him and Shinsuke. Like, for example, a guy like Roderick Strong, he's as sort of, I guess, white bread, vanilla, whatever you want to call it, as can be. And that was the problem with him until you got those video vignettes. And then it's like, oh, wow, we have an entire, like, sort of character thing to grab onto and understand why I'm into this guy.
Yeah, but if you're going to use the Shinsuke example, I think that's the perfect template for Aleister Black. Keep him NXT a year.
Mm-hmm.
Let him build his brand. Get familiar with American audiences.
And then they can call him the artist Aleister Black. He'll have a feud with Dolph Ziggler out the gate. I don't know. My thing about Shinsuke was, yes, Shinsuke did that in NXT. I don't think he needed to, though. I really don't. Like, he had the match with Sami Zayn. That's all he kind of needed in NXT. And then he could have gone, and I think he would have been in the exact same spot.
Well, I don't know if
now.
He would have been quite the exact same spot, because, I mean, granted, he got a huge reception for his first match, but he developed such a huge following in NXT.
I know.
Shinsuke was arguably the most popular NXT wrestler to date.
Mm-hmm.
Finn Balor might be the only rival.
And I'm honestly playing devil's advocate with
you,
because I totally want to be in NXT. But that being said, I do think that there is a special space reserved for guys like Shinsuke, who I think was in NXT for a long time for a couple reasons, but everybody knows he could have left there long ago. Aleister Black is the kind of guy that, I mean, you see so much of who he is without him even having to say a word.
Oh, I know.
Which is crazy.
It is.
That's the thing. We had a conversation on our NXT 205 Live recap yesterday, or 2 days ago, right? No. What is today? Wednesday? Today was Thursday.
Yeah, yesterday. This goes yesterday. Friday. That'll be Thursday, yeah.
Where somebody asked, you know, the question was, I'm a big Hideo Itami fan. Why are you guys saying Aleister Black should go to, you know, be pushed to the moon to Maine, and Hideo belongs on 205 Live? Because there is a once, I felt, honestly, here's the difference. You can go back and look at my tweets on this. When Shinsuke made his actual debut at TakeOver against Sami Zayn, from the moment his music hit to when I saw him, I was completely blown away. Completely. There was no getting to know you. There was nothing. It was just, I am immediately all in on this guy. There are very few, it's so few and far between that you see that. But when I saw Aleister Black and the way they debuted him, I was like, I am so completely into this guy. And I have a feeling that is sort of a transcendent thing. Should he stay in NXT? Absolutely. Will you build that following? Yes. I love the idea that somebody like Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura are these almost monsters in waiting in NXT. And so as a fan of like, you know, oh, when are they going to come up to main roster? When you're on main roster, you've established that, oh, this guy is dangerous.
Yes.
This guy is a beast and he's going to come up. And so from that perspective, for me, that's the biggest argument to be made to keep him in NXT a while.
Yes.
Because it's like,
it's building his brand.
There's that. Well, there's that anticipation of, well, you think you're hot S. You think you're hot shit, Samoa Joe. But then Aleister Black is waiting for you, or whoever is, you know, whoever he launches into a thing with, this guy is over here waiting. And yeah, it is from in sort of corporate speak, it's building your brand. But yeah, from storyline speak, it's, oh, there's some stuff going on over here and I want to see him destroy everybody.
Yeah.
And so everybody's going to be freaked out because they know what he's done in NXT.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good reasons for him to stay in NXT, but I like the fact that they're so high on him.
Yes, and I think
regardless, that means good things.
These quotes, yes, should throw some cold water on the idea that he's going to 205 Live.
Yeah, I don't know. I confirmed it on my 205 Live. You confirmed it on my notes, 205
not,
Live.
I can confirm that I did not confirm that.
205 Live, he's bound. Yeah, I think he's gonna be a real player. I'm looking at him to take the belt off Neville.
What? What did you say, Triple H?
Anyways, moving on. Nothing. I didn't say anything, Steve.
So you would think they would follow the Shinsuke model for Aleister Black? Yes. Keep him in NXT for about a year.
Okay. Well, here's the difference. I would say keep him in NXT for 6 months, and I'll tell you why. Because I think that Shinsuke was there for the final 6 months. Because they needed him in NXT. NXT needed him. That's why I think Shinsuke was there for so long. I think NXT doesn't need that anymore. I don't think NXT needs Aleister Black because they have bang, bang, bang.
Oh,
bang.
I know. The roster depth is insane right now. Yes.
They're kind of in a position where they can do what they want with whomever they want because they have so much depth. When Shinsuke was in NXT for as long as he was, and then they even advertised the European tour, and then they pulled him off of that because he's on Maine.
Yeah.
So they needed Shinsuke because Finn had moved up. You have Samoa Joe, the monster heel. So they needed Shinsuke to anchor NXT. They have Bobby Roode now. And if Bobby Roode decide to call it Bobby Roode, they've got X number of guys
waiting to go.
And so right now, it makes me wonder if they're going to follow the Shinsuke model had they not needed Shinsuke to stay in NXT. And I wonder what that model would have been.
I don't know.
If it would have been 3 months, 6 months, 8 months, or a year.
I don't know.
I think they're going to do what they want to do with him. I do hope that they establish him at least over a period of 6 months as like this monster. But it also wouldn't surprise me if they have sort of a plan booking wise for the NXT championship that doesn't need to go through Aleister Black. How do you keep him fresh? I don't know. I don't know. How do you have like a short reign? How do you have him drop it?
Oh, I know.
I don't know how you do all that.
I don't
that
know
stuff.
Either, but yeah.
Because all the a while, short reign make him weak.
All the while keeping him strong, yes.
Exactly.
You just can't have him, demolish, you know, Performance Center wrestlers for 6 months and call him up.
Right.
He needs to be in some real feuds.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. Part of, as you say, building his brand, part of building his brand has to be he needs to be dominant.
Yes.
Down there. And like, granted, you can be dominant against Performance Center up and comers, but you need to be Bobby Roode needs to be afraid of
yes.
you. You know, that kind of stuff.
And I would suspect, it got cut from the latest episode of NXT, but Sanity attacked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Roderick Strong mm-hmm. following his match with Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if after that program ends. I mean, we've been saying this for a while that Sanity versus Aleister Black is money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
that'd be a great feud.
Yeah, that'd be a really good feud. So it'd be a matter of, you know, how do they want to handle the belt situation? Can they dance around that? But yeah,
I mean, they can. Here's an option: they could develop Aleister Black to such an extent that he's so dominant, so feared, that Bobby Roode just literally says, "I'm not gonna have a match against this guy."
Well, that's what he needs to be.
Yeah.
That's what he needs
and,
to be.
And somehow Bobby Roode always kind of gets himself out of this situation, having to defend the title against Aleister Black. Maybe Aleister Black just says, all right, you're not going to face me. I'm going up to Maine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they almost book him so he's larger than the title.
Well, that's kind of the point I was getting at, is that you need to book him larger than the title. That's the point. Because it almost does kind of feel like a guy like him. And I mean, honestly, it felt like that towards the later days of Shinsuke's title run, when he had the belt, that, you know, you start to think, you're better than that. You know, like, you need to move on.
Yeah.
You wearing that belt is simply a reminder that you shouldn't be here anymore. And Aleister Black, I feel like it almost feels like, man, what's a good example? I mean, I guess Finn Balor in the Universal title, it's like, it almost feels like, or I'm going to say this, I'll say Goldberg, because there was no real program with Goldberg leading up to his win against Hogan. It was, everybody was on board with Goldberg. He had won the United States title. And then one day when they wanted to pop ratings, J.J. Dillon came out and said, next week we're going to have Hogan versus Goldberg. And everybody freaked out because it was like, oh man, they're going to do this. They're really going to do this. So it almost, it should maybe be something that's kind of out of nowhere. Like Bobby Roode maybe thinks he's completely gotten over everybody else or whatever the situation is. And then they announce, you know, next week you're going to take on, or next takeover, you're going to take on Aleister Black. Aleister Black comes in, gives him one black mask, and he wins the title and he sits down. That to me is the perfect situation if you really want to build him into a monster. You know what I mean? And then he can, I don't know, get rid of the belt somehow, but not eat a pin.
Yeah.
I feel like he shouldn't be eating any pins.
No.
Definitely shouldn't be tapping out.
No.
So yeah, I don't know. We're obviously huge on him.
Yes.
Let's talk about politics, Larson.
Okay.
Let's dive into the non-controversial area of the U.S. political system.
Well, specifically, we're going to talk about...
because things in politics are so boring these days. Nothing's really going on.
Specifically, we're going to talk about The Rock, because we, about 5 months ago on an episode of Dirt Sheet, we talked about The Rock possibly running for the highest office in the land. Well, I think he spoke to...
we interviewed The Rock and asked him... point blank. That's why you guys should go watch those old Dirt Sheets again.
That's not true. I believe it was when he
Vanity
was...
Vanity Fair.
Okay, yeah. GQ recently featured The Rock on the cover of their comedy issue.
Mm-hmm.
And,
he's got that Baywatch movie coming up.
Yes, they included an interview with The Rock inside, and The Rock speaks again about maybe running for president.
Mm-hmm.
This is a couple quotes from that interview.
I don't have a Rock impersonation, so you can go
ahead. I know. A year ago, this is quotes from The Rock, it started coming up more and more. There was a real sense of earnestness, which made me go home and think, let me really think my answer and make sure I'm giving an answer that is truthful and also respectful. I didn't want to be flippant. We'll have three days off for a weekend, no taxes. You know, just pandering, essentially.
Yeah.
The interviewer...
which, by the way, the long weekend thing, I think a lot of countries in Europe do that.
Yeah, I know. That's a great idea.
Do you ever watch that Michael Moore documentary? There's a million of them.
Yeah.
The one where he was like touring like a bunch of countries and sort of stealing their ideas
for
different things. I got through about half of it because it was sort of like, okay, I get the point of this and there's another 45 minutes left. But yeah, he went to, I don't know, I think France or something. And they have like, you know, they let you go for like 2 hours for lunch. They have like, you know, 30-minute work days, basically.
Yeah.
Basically. So anyways, I'm sorry.
The author or the interviewer, I guess, Katie Weaver, added, and is followed by a quote from The Rock, quote, so after all that consideration, Johnson doesn't hesitate when I ask him whether he honestly might one day give up his life as the highest paid movie star on earth, which is unquestionably easier, more fun, and more lucrative than being president in the United States in order to run for office. And The Rock says, I think it's a real possibility, and as Katie Weaver adds here, he says solemnly.
Yeah, interesting. Solemnly.
Interesting.
He gave her the very serious eyes. Very possible. Very good possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy Poo candy ass. let's see here. Then he said, The Rock continues, when asked how he thinks Trump is doing, he says, personally, I feel if I were president, poise would be important. This is all sorts of shade. Leadership would be important. Taking responsibility for everybody. If I didn't agree with someone on something, I wouldn't shut them out. I would actually include them. The first thing we'd do is we'd come and sit down. We'd talk about it. It's hard to categorize right now how I think he's doing, other than to tell you how I would operate. what I would like to see.
So it's a diplomatic way of saying that Trump is not a good president.
Exactly, yeah. He says, well, I can't tell you how I think he's doing, but I would like to give him a rock bottom. Stone Cold got to give him a stunner. Why can't I give him a rock bottom?
Yes.
Maybe a people's elbow.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Larson, I'm going to ask you right now, because in this country, you have to declare who you're voting for. Would you vote for The Rock? All ballots in this country are public. A lot of people don't know that. Kids don't know about that, about politics.
Depending on his stance on issues important to me, I would consider it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh. I mean, I would prefer, granted, I would prefer someone with some experience in public office.
Yeah, sure.
But again, you know, considering, you know, I just know what my options were.
I would say yes. I would definitely vote for him. Even if he said, I'm going to lock all Steve's up. I'm like, really, Rock? Okay, I guess. Well, you know what? You're still the Rock. Yeah, no, like you said, you know, you have to, when he gets there, you know, when he gets up there on the debate stage, see what he can do.
Yeah.
See, you know, you always want to know, look, man, I just want somebody who is, because governing is difficult, as yes. people are finding out right now. You know, you want somebody that you think will have the best interests of not just you and your family, but like of
the country.
The country, yes. You know, from top to, well, from bottom to top.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so.
And you'd like to vote for someone who would take the job seriously.
Right, exactly. So, we're just looking at each other. Like, you guys know we're dirty liberals. What do you
mean? Who takes the job seriously.
Yeah.
And is thoughtful.
Yeah.
Who would
collude with the right people. You know. Who would collude with good, intelligent, well, smart people?
I was going to say who
like would, scientists.
Yes,
you know, people who understand that climate change is a real man-made thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
One thing about right now is that, regardless of where the current political trajectory takes the top level of the government right now, I wonder how susceptible the American people will be to another outsider coming in.
No, that's a fair point.
I would like to think that this current administration is not, you know, going to be a litmus test for that, because it's not a very good one.
No.
But yeah, I don't know if I would like to think that if somebody can show that they're thoughtful, they're inclusive, they're everything that The Rock has been talking about here, you know, just vocalizing
yes.
how he would approach things. You know, I would like to think that people would still have an open mind about having somebody who maybe doesn't have a lot of experience, even
yes.
though I concur with you that, you know, if you need a plumber, you get a plumber.
Yeah.
And not somebody who just says, you know what?
He says, I know how to fix pipes.
Somebody says, yeah, I've heard plumbing can really line my bank account. So I'm going to say that I can do that. Anyways, next.
So we talked last week, I believe, about there's a Vince McMahon biopic. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? It was 2 weeks ago.
Maybe it was 2 weeks
ago. Anyways, it was recent news. We did a story on Dirt Sheet about it, because the day we recorded Dirt Sheet, there was a breakdown of various drafts, old drafts of the script.
And it was amazing.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
So Linda McMahon was recently interviewed by something called GV Wire. Have no idea what that is.
I have no idea what that is.
And she had the following to say about said Vince McMahon biopic.
She said, I don't know, but I've heard rumors of that movie too, and I'm not too sure that movie will ever see the light of day. Number one, Linda, why are you talking like William Regal? Number two.
Yeah, good question.
You've seen these scripts. You know exactly what they have in them. You know what's going on
here. And if she's only read the scripts that were written previous to
such a Vince, politician.
Vince being attached to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That movie's never seen the light of day.
No.
But if Vince gets his hands on it and basically writes the script himself, there's a pretty decent possibility that movie will get made.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess that's the thing is, you know, that's one thing you have to ask about WWE acquiring the rights to the Vince McMahon movie is, do they acquire the rights simply to bury it?
I hadn't thought about that.
You know, they just do it because they're like, we don't ever want to do this. I mean, that is a distinct possibility, just to sort of shut the lid on that ever happening.
That's a possibility. But then again, you know, from what we hear about Vince, I wouldn't put it past him to make a movie about his own life.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
But you hear, I mean, Vince, to put it, you know, Vince seems like a very complex individual.
I know, exactly.
So in one sense, I can see how he'd be really into it.
another sense, I would see how he'd be not.
Because Vince,
and that might change day to day.
The thing is, at any year, Vince should be a headliner for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I don't think that will ever happen while he is alive.
No.
I don't think that'll ever happen. And so in one respect, Vince understands that it's about the wrestlers. He inserts himself when he, you know, in terms of on camera, because he knows that it can pop ratings. Mm-hmm. You know, he does that strategically, not because I don't believe.
Out of ego?
Out of ego. I think the man has a massive ego.
Oh, yes.
But I don't think it would manifest itself. I don't think it does manifest itself in
making a movie about his own life.
Yeah, exactly. But then at the same time, his amazing bit on the Edge and Christian show season one, or the first episode, when he pokes fun at himself, you know, when he's...
So that's the thing, is he seems like he simultaneously takes himself really seriously,
yeah,
but not.
Yeah, I know.
Depending on the circumstances, you know?
I know. I would think that, I mean, just speculating, because I've never met the man, this would seem to be a bit too much. You know what I mean? Like, this would be the kind of thing where it's like, it might almost seem like damned if I do, damned if I don't. So why even bother doing it, you know?
Yeah, I didn't think about the possibility of them locking up the rights to not do it.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she does leave some wiggle room, and Linda has, you know, she is a politician. She says, I'm not too sure that movie will ever see the light of day, potentially talking about the scripts that are already in existence.
Yes, not anything that Vince has had a hand in writing.
Right, exactly. So I don't know. I would, you know, I would honestly... It would not surprise me if they bought it to bury it, and Vince, because Vince would be like, you know, that doesn't sound good. But if they did something that was sort of in the spirit of what they wanted publicly to be out there about,
yeah,
the WWE,
you know, but at the same time, you know, kind of, you know, tongue in cheek about it.
No, exactly. Yeah, and
like,
I think that,
knowingly,
yeah,
putting that out there as kind of this false narrative. Mm-hmm. To kind of, you know, just make it a light,
mm-hmm,
comedic journey through,
right,
the creation of the WWF as we know it. Yeah.
The resurrection of Vince McMahon. Like a Christian-based comedy. I don't know. We'll find out over the next couple of months if there is actual development.
Probably years.
You think it'd be that long? I don't know.
It's gonna be a little while.
They did it, I think they would. If I'll put it this way, if they bought it to do it, I don't think it would take that long to whip up a script that would be in keeping with what they'd want to do.
Make, you know, that would meet Vince's approval, essentially.
Exactly. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. Like, you know, you hammer out a script in a couple weeks and then forward it on, and Vince will read it and take a red marker to it, send it on back. I don't know. I mean, it all depends on how much, you know, verve he has for doing this.
Yeah.
If we haven't heard anything in 6 months, I'd think the project's dead. I think they bought it to bury it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, let's ask some questions.
Answer
some questions. You guys are asking questions. Nathaniel Elias Sampson the Drifter. First time question here. With Braun Strowman out 4 to 6 weeks, who do you see as the next top contender for Lesnar's belt if Strowman can't make balls of fire? Also, what is next for Roman now that they have to rewrite Extreme Rules? Thanks again, friendos, for everything you guys do. Also, I'm a new patron. Love the show. And
thank you, Nathaniel Elias Sampson. Thank you. So, both Meltzer and some other outlet talked about...
It's like HC Wrestling or something.
I can't remember who it was. About the plans for Reigns going forward. Both Lesnar and Reigns going forward. Meltzer said it was going to be Bray Wyatt filling in for Strowman, correct?
Yeah. That's the idea I got.
I read elsewhere that it was going to be The Miz.
Right.
I guess, which would make a certain amount of sense because I think we all suspected that Dean and The Miz would have their Intercontinental title match at Extreme Rules.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, that match is happening Monday.
Right. Wrestling Inc.
Okay. I'll find the link and put it in the description. Which makes sense if they're going to hasten the conclusion of that feud, Ambrose and Miz, so the Miz can get involved with Reigns, and so they don't want to disturb the
Balor
Wyatt feud, mm-hmm, that they've been, you know, working on a little bit. Mm-hmm. That all would make sense.
Yeah,
we've seen Wyatt Roman before,
mm-hmm,
a couple years back.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think we've ever seen Reigns Miz. And The Miz, if he keeps doing his shoot-style promos, can probably do come up with some interesting stuff on Roman.
I would think that given how giddy Miz seemed to be at WrestleMania when he was getting the...
Ooh, I know.
He's going to be the giddiest man on the planet.
Getting the face pop.
Getting the massive face pop for speaking truth to Reigns as a heel.
Yes.
As a heel. That sounds like Miz would love it.
Yes.
And that would be a lot of fun to watch.
It would be. As for Lesnar, I've heard Rollins and I've heard Balor for Great Balls of Fire. But Balor and Wyatt, assuming that program is on track, it would have to be Rollins, I guess. So we'll see how everything plays out between now and Extreme Rules between Rollins and Joe.
Yeah.
If they quickly wrap up that feud.
Yeah.
So then by July for Great Balls of Fire, Rollins is available for a feud with Lesnar. Because I've spoken before about how Rollins, his place in the card is cemented. He's could eat a loss to Lesnar.
Oh, yeah,
fine. Sure. And it won't damage him at all.
At this point, honestly, like anybody taking on Lesnar, a loss isn't going to hurt you.
I know. I just, for Balor, like I feel like...
If it's Joe, for example, you don't really want to do that with Joe, right?
No, I don't really feel like you want to do that with Balor either.
Oh, God, no. No. You don't do
it. But pretty much...
You're right.
Rollins can eat a loss and it's fine. He can put
Once you've had that title as long as Rollins did, then you can
and
totally do that.
I would hope...
You can laugh
based,
off a loss.
Based on their history together, that Lesnar would be motivated to put on an interesting match with Rollins, and Rollins would... I think Rollins is generally motivated to put on good matches.
Yeah. I wonder who is on Lesnar's list, because Lesnar seems to want the big marquee names.
Yeah.
And so I don't think he would phone it in as much as he did with Ambrose, but I suspect he might still want to phone it in with Rollins. He would probably want somebody like, the list is so small at this point.
I wonder if he thinks a feud with Strowman is a money feud.
Strowman's bigger than Lesnar.
I know.
Might be, like, Lesnar might actually want to have some fun with that because Strowman's bigger than Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I hope it's not Balor, man. Balor needs to move. I know it's going to be Reigns, but... Balor needs to climb that mountain and topple it.
I agree.
You know? So, I don't know. Reigns needs to get, injured for, a year and a half. It'd be so much more fun. I hate knowing what's going to happen. I hate knowing that.
I do, but at the same time, sort of like when we see the betting odds on pay-per-views, knowing what is favored to happen, because generally... It happens.
And then when it doesn't.
Yeah. And then there's that tension about whether it's actually going to happen just because someone's favored to win the match.
Yeah.
So I find that interesting on occasion.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Next, Timothy Lemieux. Hi, Stephen Larson. Is there any wrestling gimmick you hate that everyone else's love? His is Broken Matt Hardy.
Interesting.
Is
there a gimmick that you hate that everybody else loves?
I don't like Demon Balor.
Oh, yeah. I get your reasons for that, though.
I like regular Fonz Balor. I like him in the leather jacket. I think that's way cooler.
I don't know if this is a gimmick as much as it is kind of just dumb. But the lunatic fringe, Dean Ambrose.
Well, I mean, that's his gimmick, is he's the lunatic fringe.
Yeah. But I mean, that's sort of describes his personality. He's crazy. It's not really a gimmick. It just describes what his personality is. Well, the demon is a gimmick. That's like...
Well, Broken Matt Hardy describes his character.
Yeah, but that's a very specific thing. Like, he dresses a specific way.
No, I know.
Way.
Well, so does Dean. He wears jeans and
that's just regular guy.
And tank tops.
No, that's just regular guy. That's literally just walking around the street.
That's his gimmick.
I'm trying to think of a gimmick that I hate that everyone else loves. I always look behind me. Let's see here. What's the gimmick I hate?
And the Balor demon gimmick, I don't hate it. I just think it's unnecessary. It doesn't, people are wowed by it and it doesn't affect me in that
your,
way.
Your point of it doesn't enhance him necessarily in any way.
No.
Is an apt one.
And then if that persona imbues him with more powers, part of it is that the aspect of his character is not really fleshed out well.
Yeah.
So if that's something he can turn on and off, why not have it on all the time?
Yeah.
If turning it on comes at a price, then explain that.
Yeah.
Give some more backstory to it. But this seems like for pay-per-view matches, he just, makes a little bit more of a show of it.
Yeah.
But otherwise it does nothing. His moveset's the same. His attitude seems to be about the same.
Mm-hmm. I honestly can't think of one. I mean, my thing about Dean Ambrose is that he's just not crazy.
No, he's not. You know, he's quirky.
He's quirky. The Bulgarian Patreon, Nadin Varbanov. Recent Patreon, waiting to get his first question answered. Well, congratulations, Nadin.
Yes, thank you.
I'm getting it now, and thank you. What do you think will happen with Rusev after his return? He's coming back this next week?
Yes.
He says, lose to Randy and go fight for the U.S. belt, or reunite with Jinder? Oh, I hope not. And maybe feud with him and turn face. Thanks.
Here's what I'm guessing. He'll show up on SmackDown. He'll say, I want a title match.
I want a title match.
At Money in the Bank. And Shane says, well, this is a land of opportunity, so you have to earn your opportunity. You can be in the Money in the Bank match. Yeah. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. And then he's not going to win that.
No, probably not.
And then he'll be mad about it.
But it'll be nice that Rusev is back.
Oh, I'm so looking for another reason to watch SmackDown Live. Ben says, has Bray Wyatt ever really had a good match?
He had his WrestleMania match against Cena. It wasn't technically great, but it was good storytelling.
Yeah.
It was an interesting match, maybe a tad slow, but an interesting, well-told story. He had a couple decent matches with Dean Ambrose. He had a decent Hell in a Cell match with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
He's had some enjoyable matches.
Here's my thing about Bray Wyatt. I find his ring style, what he does in the ring, very enjoyable. I don't know if he's a guy that you can get like a 5-star match out of him, though. You know?
I don't think he is from a purely wrestling standpoint. You can tell some really good stories with him, but I don't know if you can necessarily do that in tandem with, you know.
Okay, who's the five,
awesome wrestling?
5-star match machine, AJ Styles.
Yeah.
If AJ Styles took on Bray Wyatt in a 30-minute knockdown match, you think they can go 5 stars?
Depends on the story being told.
It's going to be like, oh my God, remember that match?
Depends on the story being told.
Yeah.
Because I think if like the story that Wyatt and Cena told during the WrestleMania match, if that had been against AJ, that could have been a really phenomenal match.
Yeah, you're probably right. I like that you just said phenomenal. Let's see here. Tweener Jack.
Yes. Hey, friendos. First time question asker. Love your work. Thank you. With great balls of fire coming in the not-so-distant future, what are some of your guys' favorite and least favorite pay-per-view names of all time? He would say Halloween Havoc is the best and Fully Loaded being the worst.
Some of the least favorite. I like that Halloween Havoc is one of his favorites. That's
there's crazy. A lot of WCW ones that had really bad names.
Wild Thing.
Yeah.
I still don't even know what a Starrcade is. What? Who came? Dusty probably came up with that,
that
one.
Was, right? That was a Dusty.
Livin', I got a good idea. This is the
it's arcade.
This is the late 70s, early 80s.
And Star.
When was the first arcade? 86?
83, I think.
Oh, listen up, baby. I just watched this movie called Return of the Jedi. And listen up.
What does that do with an arcade? Star.
It's in the stars. It's all set in the stars.
Yeah.
And so, I also, when I was waiting to go into the movie, I went to play some video games at the arcade. And I got me thinking, Star sounds like arcade. Starcade. That's why I called it. And we're going to call it a Flair for the Gold. Because Ric Flair is going to be fighting for the gold.
I guessed 83, and I guess I was right.
You guess good, baby.
How do you feel about Sold Out, NWO one?
Love it. That's great. Are you kidding me? That's fantastic. How do you not love that?
The name's okay. The whole idea behind it is pretty lame.
Well, it's like you're selling your soul.
No, not the name. The pay-per-view. The NWO had their own pay-per-view.
Oh, no, I love that. I thought that was good. Kevin Nash had it right, man. They should have had everything. Like, NWO should have had its own company.
But here's the thing. Would the NWO just fight each other then?
Yeah. They'd have their own storylines. I have no idea. It makes no sense.
It makes zero sense. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it would all be every match would be a finger poke of doom. And it would all be 50-50 booking.
Yeah, but like, I know, so no one really goes over. But if NWO is going to be treated as his own brand, then the NWO would have to fight the NWO, right?
Well, yeah. That's the thing. No, that's the thing, though. It's his own brand, but they would just all do finger pokes of doom. 50-50 booking.
Doesn't make any sense.
Listen, anyways, baby. This is good.
I'm going to say Sold Out because the entire premise of it is dumb.
Yeah, but the name. He's asking for names.
Name's fine. But I'm going to say the name suffers because of the whole premise of the show.
I hate like generic names like Backlash, Payback.
But you like No Mercy.
No Mercy. No, I like singing No Mercy. Yeah. I don't really care about the name. I don't actually. Well, you know what I like about the name is that it's the name of a video game. Mayhem. Warzone. No, that was the name of the show.
Yeah.
The second hour of Raw.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's see here. The Coldwater Larson champ, AJ Benzaken. My question is, what aspect of kayfabe makes your blood boil the most? For me, it's when the illogicality goes to a point of absurdity and you wish you could scream at the TV. Thanks and keep up the work. For me, it's when I've said this before. It's when somebody goes for a pin and then the guy getting pinned stares at the ref.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just understand, okay, one, two, now kick up.
Yeah.
That I don't like. Whenever I see somebody go and kick out because they can feel the beat.
Yeah.
Then I know they're a pro.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I agree. The Shit Twins advocate, Alexander Corrente.
Alexander Corrente.
The rumor is Owens and Shinsuke will fight for the U.S. belt soon. Do you want to see that or see the King of Strong Style go after the world title?
Look, man, Kevin Owens, one of the best wrestlers on the planet. I would love to see him and Shinsuke face off.
They had some matches in Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm. There's that great gif online of Kevin Owens trying to, like, running on the apron, the ring apron, and then trying to do a cannonball or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
On the Shinsuke. And Shinsuke just... casually
saunters out of the
casually
way.
Moves out of the way.
Yeah,
it's really good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to a Shinsuke Owens feud. I think that'd be really good.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Alex Griperis. Every time I see the black mass, it looks even more impressive. Agreed. Have you ever seen a better looking strike in wrestling?
His feels like the most precise.
It does.
That's the thing. It's quick and it's precise.
The fact that you're doing a spinning heel kick, like you're not looking most of the time you're doing it. You have to understand spatially where your foot and his face is.
Yes.
And then the fact that he drops like a freaking sack of potatoes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
It's pretty good.
A better looking strike in wrestling? I'm going to say no. But I'm not really, you know. The clothesline from hell was pretty rad.
Discus five arm.
Oh, man. When he busts that out on TJ Perkins or Neville, I think it was Neville this past week. Oh, that was cool because it was like it came out of nowhere.
Yep. Kenny McKinnon. Unrelated, but how do you feel protecting talent has hurt the show? It seems like yesteryear there was always enough talent rotating through or even full-time jobbers like the Brooklyn Brawler around. So the big time matches meant more and you didn't have to protect so much with DQ finishes, run-ins, and so on. I feel like the guaranteed contracts Hall and Nash paved the way for, of which I support a solid paycheck, but hurt the business overall. Is there a middle ground or a way to fix this? I mean, I guess there's always been talent that's been protected.
Yeah, true. Hulk Hogan went undefeated before Warrior like...
years.
Like 8 years, something like that? Mm-hmm. Something crazy like that?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think protecting talent is... I mean, they don't always balance.
I would think in a lot of ways the 50-50 booking is a larger problem than protecting talents.
Yeah, because you don't get like a real feel. But on SmackDown, didn't AJ Styles cleanly beat Baron Corbin like last week?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago,
A couple weeks ago.
But I don't think Baron suffered because of that loss.
No, I don't. But it was surprising. It's like, oh, crap, look at that.
Yeah.
Like, I think they still surprise from time to time, like...
It seems like something Raw does more often than SmackDown does.
Yeah.
AJ lost cleanly to Orton on mm-hmm. SmackDown.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't really expecting.
Right. So, I don't know. It's people need to be protected from time to time. That's how you determine your champions, mm-hmm. It's kind of always been that way. Mm-hmm. Like when Stone Cold was coming up, he ate losses.
Mm-hmm.
He had lost like Savio Vega in his first feud. So, yeah, we got some video questions.
We do.
First up from Adam Fella, the latest signee to Fun Wrestling.
Yes, he's back with another video question.
Let's see, Adam.
Hey, friendos. Your newest Fun Wrestling acquisition, the six-star savior, Adam Fella here, returning for another video question. I was at the gym today because I just got a membership, and while I was there, I came up with two questions for you. I'll make them kind of quick. If you were to have one wrestler that exists or existed in real life and one fuck wrestler to be your gym partners, who would those two gym partners be for you? My two would be the late Macho Man Randy Savage, rest his soul, and... for my fuck wrestler, I would go with the underutilized Machka Man. Thanks, friendos. Take care.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you. So we need...
congratulations on getting a gym membership.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
Heart health.
Yes. So one Friendo Unified Championship wrestling superstar, one real superstar, wrestling superstar to be your gym buddies.
Yes.
Who are they?
Okay, so my real superstar would be Charlotte because she takes a lot of selfies in the gym. She always looks like she's having a good time while she's exercising, and I think she'd be very motivational.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about your Friendo Unified Championship wrestling superstar?
Man. So many to choose.
I'll answer while you think.
Okay.
Real wrestler, I'm going to choose Ryback because I think he's good to buy me El Pollo Loco on our way back from the gym.
Completely counterproductive to working
out. Well, not necessarily. You need your protein after you work out.
Get a shake.
As far as...
He would say, you don't need that. Just have some Feed Me More supplements. See, that's going to be the problem because I don't know what's in those supplements.
I don't either.
He'd
that's
be
why
pushing those on you.
That's why
time.
I would prefer just El Pollo Loco.
I know, but you're going to tell that to the big guy?
Yeah.
Larson.
We'll have a conversation.
Larson. Yeah, you'll have a conversation with the big guy.
So, and my fun wrestler will be Top Notch, of course, because that's motivation.
You seem to hate him on the show, though. You and him are always beefing.
I do. I dislike him. But, I mean, you know, he's hypercritical. I would go with
Earl Smothers.
Well, again, hypercritical.
Because I feel like it would be, number one, it wouldn't be in the gym. It would be like out in the woods. And
oh, like cutting logs.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be old school. That's kind of how I prefer. You get some fresh air.
Yeah.
Doesn't smell like sweat everywhere.
Yeah.
You'd be probably naked. Michael Berry has a question. We'll see what Michael Berry has to say.
Yes.
What's going on, friendos? It's your HR department, Michael Berry. And after listening to your guys' podcast about wrestling movies that should happen... I went and saw the Paul Heyman documentary and ECW Rising, and I was wondering, because you guys don't talk about it too much, who were some of your guys' favorite ECW originals? Mine would have to be RVD, Sabu, Sandman, but would love to hear you guys.
Thank you, Michael Berry.
Thank you. So, Steve, your favorite ECW originals? Rob Van Dam, obviously.
Yeah, RVD. Like, I remember, I distinctly remember watching him wrestle for the first time. We moved to LA, turned on the TV, and like on KTLA or something like that.
He was doing things that we had never seen before.
I didn't even understand that they were possible to do in wrestling. So RVD would probably be number one answer.
Yeah.
I also really love Shane Douglas.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah.
Because he was just, I don't know, he was the heel that I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
Thought he was cool. How about you?
RVD.
Yeah. Sandman was also so cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you could tell he couldn't wrestle.
Yeah. Tommy Dreamer.
Oh, he was good.
Yeah.
He was really good. And then the Dudleys were always fun.
Yeah.
They were so crude.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. CJ Reebley has a question. Let's see what CJ has to say.
Hey, friendo. CJ here. So, my kids are still a little too young to be fans of wrestling, but whenever I watch, they actually started picking out favorites. My 7-year-old is a big Stone Cold fan, loves Stone Cold because he watched me play the showcase in WWE 2K16. My daughter recently, because of the Hall of Fame showcase, is actually a big fan of Sting now, she tells me. I know, Steve, you have stepkids who are old enough. Are they fans? And... whether they're fans or not, what are their favorites? Larson, I'm pretty sure your kids, like mine, are a little too young to decide that. Anyway, talk to you guys later.
Thank you, CJ.
Thank you, CJ.
This is more a question directed toward you.
Yeah.
So, answer.
Me and the niece, I take her to wrestling shows. Well, I've taken her to two. And then we watch, I always text her. I'm like, hey, because she lives with me. You want to watch NXT? And then she like rolls in. She'll watch half of it. We've been talking about doing live NXT reaction shows on my channel, YouTube MF Steve here.
Yes.
However, you know, I do have a 2-year-old and I watch wrestling in front of her and she enjoys it. And whenever something crazy happens, she goes, So, I mean, obviously I'm going to have to let her know. She doesn't like, I don't think she like it's crazy. Like sometimes she'll chop me. Like, we'll be laying around, and she'll start chopping me.
But interesting.
I think that's just more like I'm messing with Dad right now. I don't think she's getting that from the TV.
No.
What about you, your kids?
They don't really watch it much.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
No. And near as I can tell, they don't have any favorites.
Okay. Yeah, no. So, I tell my niece, I tell Talia, I want to be Aleister Black. Is that weird? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, fair enough. What do I know? I'm old. Let's see here. Next up, Jason the Cabbie.
Yes.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Jason the Cabbie coming off of a long, strange shift, so I'll try to keep this short. So for the second week in a row, the network shows have been more entertaining than the televised ones. And we did kind of get our wish to see what 205 would look like in front of a crowd that was into it. Although for some strange reason, they seem to have been muting the crowd at certain points and just bringing them up for chance for Austin Aries, Jack Gallagher, etc. So that aside, NXT is shaping out to be great like it usually is. What could you see as potential future dream matches using current featured NXT talent versus current main roster talent? Me personally, I would like to see Cassius Ohno or Drew Galloway maybe against someone like Brock or another big star like that. Aleister Black versus Shinsuke could be a pretty sweet match. And maybe Hideo taking on Neville, or you know, somewhere along the cruiserweight line. And I'm just going to cut this off now before I get too fried out on a long, long night. Take care.
Thank you, Jason the Cabbie.
Thank you, Jason the Cabbie.
So, dream matches, Jason, between.
Question for Jason.
Okay.
So you're a cab driver. Because he's a cabbie.
Yeah.
He's wearing a shirt that says, what did it say? Thank you and fuck you.
It looked like that was the case, yes.
Is that an appropriate attire? Is that appropriate attire to wear when you're shuttling customers around?
Who knows?
If you got into a cab and the guy had a shirt on that said F word you, what would you think about that? Would you feel put off?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Would you?
No. I would be like, you know what? This guy, he knows the score.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to answer his question?
Yeah, sure. Dream match between current NXT.
Well, Shinsuke versus Aleister Black.
Oh, yeah. Dream match.
That's up there.
That's number one.
Number one for you?
Number one.
Who should Bobby Roode?
Yeah, I was just thinking of Bobby Roode. A face Bobby Roode versus... an authority heel Triple H.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Because I firmly believe Bobby Roode, his gimmick is simply corporate Triple H.
Pretty much.
It's Paul Levesque.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Patrick Sparks has a video question. Let's see what Patrick Sparks has to say.
Hey, friendos. Pat here. So, I was reading an article earlier from PW Insider. I believe it was Court Bauer from MLW Radio who... reported that Vince wasn't at Payback, Raw, or SmackDown last week because he's trying to slow things down on himself. And obviously Vince is getting old, so maybe all this work that Vince puts on himself is taking a toll on him. Do you think he's going to continue to drop his workload any, or do you think he's just going to work himself crazy, mad, and possibly to death? What do you guys think? Thanks, friendos.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks, Patrick.
So yeah, there were reports that Vince didn't make the West Coast shows, at least Payback, Raw, and SmackDown, I believe, when they were in San Jose, Sacramento, and Fresno, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows if that was just kind of a one-time deal, he just needed to take a break, or if this is going to be an ongoing thing where he takes shows off here and there. Speculate.
I would honestly think that they have so many fires burning right now. Is that the right phrase? They have so much going on.
Yeah.
He's probably juggling so much that the day-to-day minutia of the shows is starting to take a back seat. And I don't think it has to do with like him wanting to take less of a workload. I honestly just think that he's got too much going on in the corporate world to justify going on a...
being on the road full-time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they just had their quarterly financial call thing. I mean, who knows if he had to be dealing with that stuff. I mean, I know there's cell phones and stuff. I mean, I would imagine he's probably good at knowing how he can best be utilized.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got capable people running these shows.
Yeah.
You know, if he wakes up and wants to make a booking decision, which according to betting odds, and then what happened on the show
was the case. With
might
the,
have been the case.
The Bliss Bailey match. Yeah,
you know, just wake up, text Paul Levesque. Where is he?
But I think it was just this last week in the middle of the European tour. I think on one day the WWE had like five or six shows going on one day.
Mm-hmm.
They had two shows in Europe, two NXT shows, and I guess something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah.
But they had three shows in Europe.
Yeah, there's no need for Vince to be.
He doesn't have to, you know, be there for everything.
Yeah. So I don't
know. Long as he's there for the you know, script review and whatnot.
Right.
And if he changes his mind on something, he can just call someone. I'm sure they can make the adjustments.
It's like a different business these days, man. It's so expansive.
Yeah, I know.
There's so much going on.
I know.
Let's see here. Zach Parks has a question. We'll see what Zach has to say.
G'day, friendos. It's the Down Undertaker, Zach Parks, here with my first ever video question. Quickly, I just want to thank Stephen Larson, you guys. I've been watching you from the 10 for the Win days, and back then I was pretty young. I was early teens when I started watching you guys. I'm turning 20 this year now, and over the last year, your podcast has really helped me regain my love for wrestling. So for that, I thank you guys. Anyway, into my question. So the world has somehow given us exactly what we wanted. WWE has come to their senses and finally let us have WWE interacting with other brands, such as Ring of Honor, New Japan, stuff like that. So there is going to be a pay-per-view where it's WWE versus the world, where it's open invitation for anyone. So I want you guys to book three matches and also name the pay-per-view that would be WWE versus the world. First match, champion from WWE versus champion from any other brand around the world, such as New Japan, Ring of Honor, Impact, anything like that. Number two, tag team match. Doesn't have to be champions from any different thing, but WWE tag team versus any other brand's tag team. And number three is just a dream match. So anybody in WWE versus anybody in any other brand come together for one special night. So that's my question. Let me know what you guys think. Cheers, friendos, and I'll catch you later.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, Zach.
So
good to see new faces.
Yes, WWE versus the world. We need to name this pay-per-view, Steve. We need three matches, a world title match, a tag match, and then just a dream match.
Well, relating back to Patrick Sparks' question, if Vince does retire or, you know, whatever, if he's no longer in charge of, like, the entire enchilada, I could see this as a possible, like, WWE putting on collaborative efforts.
Yeah, they used to do that.
Maybe, yeah. I could possibly see that, maybe. So this is not out of the question. AJ Styles versus Kenny Omega.
That's your dream match.
Probably.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
What about a tag match? Young Bucks.
Oh, my goodness.
Versus the Revival.
Obviously, the Revival.
And then a world title match would be Okada versus Lesnar.
Ooh, wow. Oh, man. Wow. Wowie, yeah. Okada versus Lesnar.
That would be a solid show.
That'd be crazy. You know what would have been better? Shibata versus Lesnar. I don't think any men, either of those guys would have, there wouldn't have been no give there.
Mm-mm.
It would just been worse, escalating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I wonder what Lesnar would have been like if he ate that headbutt. He might have laughed it off.
He just would have turned a little more purple.
Yeah, maybe. Ooh, that's scary. Alexander.
Oh, we have to name the show.
Oh, name the show. It would be WWE versus the world.
Okay.
It's such a disservice to like whoever they're co-promoting it with. It's like, well, New Japan wants it. No.
How about this? WWE versus New Japan World Tour.
Oh, there you go. World Tour. That's okay. There you go. You win. That's good. That's perfect.
And it pays homage to our favorite wrestling game.
Of course. WWE, New Japan.
World Tour.
World Tour. Oh, I like that a lot. That's good.
Final video question from Alexander Corrente. Let's see what Alexander has to say.
DIY and AOP are going to put on a phenomenal match in Chicago. Which of those two teams do you guys think has a better main roster chance of success based on what they've done in NXT? Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Alexander.
Thank you. So, DIY, Authors of Pain.
I've got the algorithm for tag team wrestling.
And for that reason, I think Authors of Pain will probably fare better on the main roster.
Look, man, I trust math. And Paul Ellering, no, he has the algorithm.
Yeah, he knows the math.
He knows the math. It'd be, it's for me, it's Authors of Pain simply because Look, I'm a massive fan of DIY.
Yes.
I love them.
They are fantastic. They put on a great match, or a good match, with Moss and Sabatelli on NXT.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly. It was a surprisingly fun match.
Exactly. But the Authors of Pain are such a dominant force. I would love to see, like, everybody would start, like, rotating around them. They would be the center of the tag team universe.
Yeah.
And it would be fantastic.
Yes.
I think it'd be so much fun.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, that'd be great. Because everybody would have to climb that mountain.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for Dirt Sheet. Check out this weekend the channel. We've got a countout episode.
Yep.
But then on Sunday, are we doing it on Sunday?
Sure.
Sunday, we're going to start doing old pay-per-view reviews. So watch WCW New Blood Rising.
Yes.
It's got the Judy Bagwell on a forklift match, and I've got a whole bucket load of notes here to talk about
this
show.
I too have notes.
Should be a lot of fun. Check that out. We're trying some new stuff here on the channel. We hope you join us for the ride. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.